Lecture topic, youth, the most endangered species, part 2.
A very cumbersome, a very daunting journey. But when they got there, the Hajj was simple because the numbers were few. Today Allah has made it easy for us to get there, but when we get there, that's where the challenge is. So Hajj has its challenge, the dynamics have changed. In the early days, the challenge was getting there. In the Hashya of Jalalain, under this ayah, يَأْتُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ, that the people will come to you from every distant location. A person nudges his friend and he says, how long it took you to come here? He said, 6 months. He said, oh, you're the neighbor of the Kaaba. We're out for 6 years. You're a neighbor to the Kaaba. So, anyway, appreciating, talking about going for Hajj. We would, on the occasion of Arafah, when the Sahaba had intensified and exerted themselves in worship, and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pinnacle of virtue, the next day after the night of Arafah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them all an acknowledgement, and he said, "Inna Allaha baha bin nasi ashiyata Arafa amma, wa baha bi Umar khassa." Last night, Allah Ta'ala was boasting about my Sahaba. And every one of you have excelled. But Umar, you stole the show. Umar, you stole the show. Umar, it was your platform. Umar, all the way, you were the hero. Oh man, can you imagine that? You're not walking away with a trophy. And now there's also a rotating trophy. Huh? It's a floating trophy. It's like this old big trophy and it's a floating trophy. Like, have we lost our value so much? Back in the days, a man's compass or his navigation lost signal. Now we're losing the device also, man. We're losing our bearings totally. We're dying for that one trophy, which is a floating trophy. This is a trophy, my brother. This is a feather in your cap. Last night, Allah was boasting to all my Sahaba about my Sahaba. But Umar, Allah was raving about you. One person tells Umar, Umar, you've hurt me, Allah won't forgive you. Umar could retort and say, I don't need your forgiveness. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar, Umar, you're going for Umrah. Go. La tansana fi du'aika ya ukhayya. Umar, don't forget your Nabi in your du'as. The ulama say, the pinnacle of Umar radiyallahu anhu wa arda's state of piety and virtue has been aptly condensed and captured in this word, Ya Ukhayya, my beloved brother, my buddy, my bosom friend. You must see under this ayah, Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu's narration is mentioned in Madarik al-Tanzil. He said, Awsani Khalili, my bosom friend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did the Nabi of Allah say? Umar, you going? Don't forget me in your du'as. Allah's Nabi telling Sayyidina Umar, Umar could tell this man, you know what, tough luck to you. I'm holding all this privileges on my shoulders. Umar held on to him and he said, my brother, I will do anything in the world for you to forgive me. Don't jeopardize my entry into Jannah. Don't jeopardize my entry into Jannah. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ. These are the words of the narration. Umar held on to him, begged him, beseeched him, implored him. حَتَّى غَفَرَ لَهُ. Umar radiallahu, he said to Umar, now I have no heart to harbor this against you. I have forgiven you totally. So, the incident I want to share with you is Rabi'a ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, and whatever Allah puts in my heart. May Allah put it an inspiration for me and for you. Here is a young boy in the golden era of Nabuwwat. Kuntu fatan hadith as-sin. He says, I'm a young boy, just into my teens. Lamma ashraqat nafsi bi noor al-iman, wa amtala'a fuadi bi ma'ani al-islam. Wa lamma ikta'alat 'aynaya bi mar'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awwala marra, ahbabtuhu hubban malaka 'alayya kull jarihatin min jawarihi. وأولعت به ولعن صرفني عن كل ما عداه. When I looked at the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at my first glance, I was bought over. I was riveted. I was impressed. I was mesmerized. That was the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One was his physical beauty, one was his spiritual beauty. Utba. The narration comes in Tabrani. Umm Asim radiyallahu anha. She says, we were four women that were married to our one husband. Kunna arba'a niswa inda Utba. So ma minna imra'atun illa wa hiya tajtahidu fi at-tib. Every one of us is to apply the best of deodorants and fragrances to outdo our co-wife to attract our husband. But our husband was a bit of a dry character. He was a bit of a dry character. You never seen the man applying itar on his body. But lo and behold, the man had the best fragrance compared to all four of us collectively. So one day, curiosity had the better of me. I'm like, no man, this is not on, man. How does this work? What are you using? Where does it happen? I said to him that ma minna imra'atun illa wa hiya tajtahidu fi at-tib. Every one of us tries to impress you. You never use anything, and subhanallah, you have the best fragrance. So he said, أَخَذَنِ الشَّرَى فِي عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. I had this itching syndrome, right? You know, there's a lot of doctors, I shouldn't be talking, but you have these small pimples. I think they call it tinea vesicula or something like that. Tinea vesicula. So anyway, you get the small pimples, you have a bit of an itching syndrome. I had this itching syndrome. I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he told me to expose my back to cover my private area, and then he blew in his blessed hand, and then he gently passed his hands over my back. It's been that day and this day, the fragrance would never leave me. On the reverse side, I know many people, you greet the hands, you wash your hands with every detergent you know of, but hey, I don't know what that brother ate, man. Every detergent in the market you can use and you can exhaust it, but the stench and the foul smell won't leave you. So that was the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's an insult to become impressed with anyone else when Allah has given you the paragon of His creation, whose beauty is from day one, whose everything was attractive and awesome and impressive. Anyway, I was a young boy. I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was bought, I was taken. Again, what did I say? When the inner heart is active. When the heart is active, then it sends you these whispers. No man, you cannot be doing this, man. How long are you going to be living your life like this? Everybody is young today. Everybody is young. Someone said, I consider anyone 15 years older than me as old, regardless of my age. Anyone 15 years older than me. In English, they say when someone tells you how young you look, they're also telling you how old you are. When someone, hey, but you're looking young, hey, Jazakallah, man. You're not the first one to tell me that. When somebody tells you how young you look, they're also telling you how old you are. Life is moving, my brother. It's ticking away very swiftly and very rapidly. So I had a whisper from within me that said, اعرض نفسك على رسول الله. Why don't you go and put a request to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you can become his khadim and serve him. Devote your life to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنْ رَضِيَ بِكْ سَعِدْتَ بِقُرْبِهِ وَفُزْتَ بِحُبِّهِ وَحَظِيتَ بِخَيْرَي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Try your luck. Unfortunately, today we do it for the wrong things. The most the girl can say is no. The most the drug man can say is no. The most the employer can say is no. The most this one can say is try again. We have this daring guts, and we try and push ourselves into all other things. This young sahabi, Rabi'a, said, let me muster the courage and go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him this year. You know, this is when I read this, I get so energized and I don't know how to contain myself. Like Huzaifa radiallahu anhu says, one day my mom called me and he said, listen my son, today I got nothing else. I just want you to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spend some time with him and ask him to make dua for me and for you. Can you imagine, like I said, my son, go to your kala today and go ask her for this here and borrow this and take this and drop this and bring this. And yeah, Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, just go. My mother said, go. So I went early and I spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he turned around and before I could request, he said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَلِأُمِّكَ. Oh, Huzaifa, may Allah forgive you and your mom. May Allah forgive you and your mom. Like whole day sitting in the company of Nabi alayhi salam. And that's exactly what the Arabic poet said. Hanakum ya ahla taybata qad haqqa. Fabil qurbi min khayril wara huztum as-sabqa. Fala yataharrak sakinum minkum ila siwaha. Wa in jara al-zamanu wa in shakka. Fakam min malikin rama al-wusul limithli ma wasaltum. Falam yaqdir bihi walau malak al-khalqa. فبشراكم نلتم عناية ربكم فها أنتم في بحر نعمته غرقا ترون رسول الله كل ساعة ومن يره فهو السعيد به حقا. The poet addressing the residents of Medina, I said, I just envy you. When you're tired and you had a bad day and you're miserable and you're depressed, You can just say like, I'm going to go cry in the court of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to the blessed grave of my Nabi and I will sit there and worship my Lord and cry at the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know the incident of Muhammad Utbi? There is an incident, a person used to come to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, and he wasn't a very good person. So one day he came and he greeted Imam Ahmad, and Imam Ahmad didn't give him much reception. So Imam Ahmad then told Imam Ahmad, oh Imam Ahmad, I'm no more the man you knew me, I've moved on. I've seen the Nabi of Allah in a dream. And he said to me, what's the matter? I said, oh Nabi of Allah, I'm living a life of sin and vice. And then he told me, come forward. And I said, I don't have the courage to approach you. I don't know how to face you. And then he gestured me with my hands and I came forward. And then he prayed for me. The effect of his divine prayer was that when I got up in the morning, every sin that I committed passionately in my life, I got up hating it, despising it totally, and I've never reverted to it again. I said, imagine that. We don't even give it up on a 27 night with that passion. We don't even despise it and dislike it at that pinnacle of ecstasy in spirituality. So anyway, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, O Nabi of Allah, I would love to sit in your company and serve you as a young boy. The Nabi of Allah said, that's fine. You are more than welcome. So my daily practice was, I used to sit and come and spend time in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَمَا تَطَلَّعَ لِحَاجَةٍ مِّنْ حَاجَاتِهِ إِلَّا وَجَدَنِي مُسْرِعًا فِي قَضَائِهَا. Whenever he needed, he would say, Rabi'ah, I'm like, yes, O Nabi of Allah, I'm at your beck and call. You whisper and I will do. You whisper and I will do, and I will comply. A youngster once came to me, and he broke up in his relation with his wife, or intended wife, and he was sobbing. And he said, please, if you can intervene and all that. I started sobbing, looking at how he was sobbing. And what made me cry even more is like, what beautiful tears, if only you could shed this out of the fear of Allah. I don't know what would have been your abode in Akhirat. What beautiful tears, but like, where are you putting it? Huh? I read an article way back, I've quoted in one of my talks, the misery of a man. So this man pleasantly surprises his wife, and for her birthday, he puts on a tattoo on his back. And it cost him an arm and a leg, or maybe a couple of legs also. And he had the whole thing put on and very excited. 2 days before his wife's birthday, she launches him and she ditches him. Now to keep it is painful, to take it out is painful. This is what I was replying, and I read it, the misery of a man, and it really caught my eye. I said, look at this, where he spent his money, went through all the pain. La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-washimat wal-mustawshimat. It's like, my wife, look at what I've done, and only to know she's ditched you, she's launched you, she's forsaken you, and she's moved on. Under this ayah, Hakimul Ummat has written, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. He's made a phenomenal exploration of this ayah. Allah says, your partners are your garments. There's multiple commonalities and similarities between your dress and your spouse. One is, when I dress myself, it conceals and camouflages all my defects, my blemishes, my scars. A person can have a triple bypass, but he attires himself beautifully. You're looking healthy, you're looking fit. No idea. That's one of the wisdoms of marriage, that you're supposed to conceal your partner, not to expose. Another thing is that you don't get over-attached in life, because the rhythm of life is sometimes you lose your partner, sometimes other things happen, and a dress is something that is separable. You can remove it from your dress. So Allah said, your partner is your spouse. Conceal her and let her conceal you. But let your heart be absolutely connected to Allah and attached to Allah, so that you do not lose your focus in the event of that relation being dissolved for whatever reason, because your heart is connected and associated with Allah. There's many other commonalities and explorations of the ayah. Anyway, it's mentioned in Tanbihul Ghafilin under Sifatu Ahli Nar, when the occupants of hell from this ummah will come to Jahannam, may Allah save us, and then they will be then hurled into hell. So they will say to the custodian of hell, and that is Malik, that we have to burn, but we are really disappointed with ourselves, and we never thought this is going to happen. You know, sometimes your son throws a curve ball, and he said, my boy, I never expected that from you. And I often say today, my opening comments were pre-orthodontics, post-orthodontics. Back in the days, the children were born with straight teeth, and they were talking straight also. Now they're born with crooked teeth, you straighten their teeth, only for him to throw a curveball at his own parents. Only for him. Like, I spent thousands of rands to get the teeth straight, only for you to use vulgar on me, my son. only for you to talk. And one scholar said it very beautifully. When you speak vulgar, you act vulgar. You behave vulgar. You'll be appalled if you happen to walk by youngsters playing the language that they use. You want the earth to split. It's either vulgar, it's obscene, or it's custom wallah. It's like, no man, have a break. What's this language? Where do we learn this? How do we speak? Do we understand the implications of an oath? It's just when you speak vulgar, you start acting vulgar. You want to behave vulgar. You want to display vulgarity. You want to exhibit vulgarity. And that's exactly what is happening. I was in London and we were going for a program. So this brother had his tom-tom on. So I knew you had the option of a female voice and a male voice. Go straight, take a right, take a left, U-turn when possible, U-turn when possible. He said, Sheikh, do you know this has an option of youth vulgarity? I'm like, wait, hang on, what you talking? He said, no, this thing can talk to a youth in that style. Now imagine if the devices are coming made like that. So I said, no. He said, no, you have to hear it. So instead of saying, take a right turn, the same is said, and obviously I can't mimic that language, Allah save me and everyone, but it comes with few vulgarities, obscene language, hey you man, take a turn. I said, Ya Allah, where is the ummah going, my Allah? I mean, a simple device of direction and navigation gives you the choice, well, choice is not a right word, exposes you to vulgar. So it just gives this youngster a kick while he's driving to feel that someone is like, hey man, move on, you can't be towing along. Ya Allah, where are we going, my Allah? In what a time has our eyes opened up that leave alone even simple gadgets and devices have become provocative and have instilling evil values into us. So I would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at that time, when the dwellers of Jahannam of this ummah will be brought to the edge of Jahannam and they'll say, we want to cry. So then they'll cry. And Malik will say something. He will say, Ma ahsana hadhal buka law kana fid dunya. They said, you guys have great tears. I'm afraid the venue is wrong. I'm afraid the venue is wrong. You've issued the three talaqs. Maulana, I regret what I said. We all regret what you said, my friend. But it's irreversible. It's irrevocable. It's catastrophic. It's too late. You have to sort out yourself now. You're crying now. You're crying too late. This is the time to cry. This is the time the tears are valued in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To move on with the story, he would sit by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on anything. He is on the beck and call of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَا تَطَلَّعَ لِحَاجَةٍ مِّنْ حَاجَاتِهِ إِلَّا وَجَدَنِي مُسْرِعًا فِي قَضَائِهَا. But like in Arabic they say, good begets good, evil begets evil. If you're doing an evil today, it doesn't stop you. It moves on, it moves on, it moves on. So one day it came to my heart, I said, لَعَلَّهَا تَعْرِضُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَاجَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. Oh Rabia, you're serving the Nabi of Allah in the day, but what happens if he has a need by night? You're excusing yourself at dusk and nightfall. Why don't you extend your hours of servitude? Maybe it will just elevate your rank in the eyes of Allah that much more. So I said, O Nabi of Allah, you've afforded me the opportunity to serve you in the day. Can I be privileged to also serve you in the night? The Nabi of Allah said, that's fine. فَكُنْتُ أَجْلِسُ عَلَىٰ بَابِهِ وَلَا أَتَحَوَّلُ عَنْ عَتَبَةِ دَارِهِ. I would sit at the threshold of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was a young boy. I couldn't exert myself in this lengthy worship, but I would toe the line and I would sit there. And then what did he say? Oh man, I cry. Allah knows how much I said this. And I say to my children and I say to the ummah, may Allah make it a reality. He said, I would listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting Surah Fatiha. فَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا هَزِيعًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ حَتَّى تَغْلِبَنِي عَيْنَايَ. The Nabi of Allah would be reciting, he would be reciting, I would be listening, I would be enjoying, and while his melodious recital is in my ears, I used to get overpowered with fatigue and I used to sleep away with his Fatiha in my ears. Oh my Allah, make that a reality, my Allah. Oh my Allah, when the ummah has been paralyzed with these gadgets and these devices, and some are sleeping with women's voices and others with music and others with all evil porn and pornography and vulgarity, Allah, and in the greatest month of Ramadan and in the noblest of locations, these things have corrupted and diluted and polluted. People are going for Umrah and you get a message to say, he's having illicit relation while he's at the Kaaba, and telling this illicit one, making dua for you. Make dua for yourself. Make dua for yourself, my brother. What dua? Where are we going? Ya Allah, what are we doing? And what did he say? I would be listening, حَتَّى غَلَبَتْنِي عَيْنَايَ. And sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be reciting, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ فَمَا زَالَ يُرَدِّدُهَا زَمَنًا أَطْوَلْ مِنْ تَرْدِيدِهِ لِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. We just say it and move on. It means, Allah has heard when you praise Him. And the Nabi of Allah would repeat that so much, much longer than his Fatiha. And sometimes it's Sami Allahu liman hamida, sometimes it's Fatiha. But I cannot recall sleep in the night without his blessed voice ringing in my ears. I cannot recall, oh my Allah, make that the night of this ummah, Allah. Say Ameen, brothers. And that would be my night, and that would be my day, and months pass. وقد كان من عادة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه ما صنع له أحد معروفا إلا أحب أن يجازيه عليه. It was the noble practice of the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم. He never took anybody's servitude for granted. This was the kindness of the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So if anybody served him, he acknowledged him, he reciprocated it. He reciprocated the favors. So after he seen my diligence, my compliance, my devotion, he one day called me. وَقَدْ أَحَبَّ أَن يُجَازِيَنِي عَلَىٰ خِدْمَتِي. And he wanted to compensate me for my serving him. So he said to me, Rabi'a, mashallah, I am very happy with you, my boy. And you've been really good. Make a request and I will fulfill it. Make a request and I will fulfill it. This is a young boy. The world is his dream. The world is his vision. Think of anything and everything. The young man wants to carry the entire world on his two arms. That's how broad his vision is. That is where far reaching his thoughts are. So he said to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمْهِلْنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لِأَنْظُرْ فِي مَا أَتْلُبُهُ ثُمَّ أُعْلِمَكَ. O Nabi of Allah, would you give me some grace? Can I sleep over the matter? Can I deliberate and I get back to you? Can I apply my mind? The Nabi of Allah said, take your time. Our sale doesn't end. We don't have such cut-off points and you have to be backwards and you must carry this voucher and your hand mustn't be stamped. No, come anytime. It's open. This is it. We run in where the sale ends, and when the sale is open all the time we don't run. People queue up for hours. You see Allah, for how many hours? When the Nabi of Allah said, مَن نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ وَالِدَيْهِ نَظْرَ رَحْمَةٍ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ نَظْرَةٍ حَجَّةً مَبْرُورًا. If you glance to your parents with the eyes of love and mercy, Allah will give you the reward of an accepted hajj on every glance. I often say, Allah forbid, today the average youth, they hurl such nasty glances at their parents that I am afraid Allah might deny them the reward of the accepted hajj because of that glance. I am afraid Allah might snatch the reward of that hajj. Allah might take that reward away. Adabul Mufrad, Imam Bukhari, the incident has been mentioned there. A person came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said, I got involved with a woman and I got into a relation. And then I proposed to her and she declined. And then somebody else proposed to her and she accepted. And I couldn't make peace with the fact that this is what this woman wedded someone else and she didn't marry me. And I was infatuated over this woman. فَغِرْتُ. I had this overwhelming rage in me. So in that fit of rage, I killed this person. And obviously I regret what I have done. Can I amend for what I have done? Obviously, the funds and that had to be paid out to that person, the diet, etc. The family had to be attended to. He said, but how can I sort out my own life? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, هَلْ لَكَ مِنْ أُمِّنْ. Is your mother alive? He said, no, I'm afraid my mother has moved on. He said, oh, if she was alive, I had an avenue to help you out. If she was alive, I had an avenue to help you out. But anyway, make tawbah, Allah's doors are open. Atta ibn Abi Rabah, the distinguished scholar of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said when it ended, I asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, al-Adab al-Mufrad makes mention of it, Why you ask this brother if his mother is alive, the crime committed, what you asked him? لِأَنَّنِي لَا أَعْلَمُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ عَمَلًا أَقْرَبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ بِرِّ الْوَالِدَةِ. Because me, Abdullah ibn Abbas, I'm not acquainted of any action that can instantly give you the proximity of Allah like how serving your mother can. So when the Nabi of Allah said, glancing at your parents will give you the reward of an accepted Hajj, Sahaba said, oh Nabi of Allah, I'll take you on. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, he didn't say it like that. Oh Nabi of Allah, I'll take you on. I'll take you on. So the Nabi of Allah said, what do you mean? Nabi, I'll look at my mother 100 times a day, then what? So Nabi of Allah said, then you'll get 100 Hajj, what else? This was their passion. One of you, Allah, you say, like you know, you say, hey, I'll sell this for, I got two phones, I'll give it, hey, by watch what you're saying, I'll buy everything. I'll buy everything. One of you, Allah, I'll take you on, I'll look at my mother 100 times. Nabi of Allah said, Allahu Akbar wa Atyab. Qalu wa in nazara fil yawmi mi'ata marra. These youth today that have caused pain to your parents, I had to give a talk the other day at the rehab center, and I spoke about parents, and I seen some youngsters crying and sobbing. And I was speaking to the brother there, he said some of them, when they come out of the intoxication, they only cry for days. They only cry for days because their parents have moved on and they know what pain they have caused to their parents. Those of you, your parents are alive, go sit with them, press their feet, hold them, hug them, serve them, kiss them. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, every morning when he would come out, then he would knock his mom's door and he would say, Jazakallahu min ummin barartani saghira. My mom, may Allah reward you. You took care of me as a child and you blessed me in my old age. I only make dua for you, may Allah reward you. She would respond and say, Wa anta ya waladi. And you, oh my son, as a child you were obedient and when you grew up you served me. May Allah reward you. Every morning, mother and son would exchange these duas and then start their day. I mean, what a blessed start. What a blessed start. I often mention this incident of Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi. It's mentioned in Hilyatul Awliya. That Bishr Hafi was a great scholar. He was amongst those people who the ulama referred to as ulamaul uzzab, alladhina atharu al-ilma 'ala az-zawaj, who did not get married in the quest of knowledge. When he passed away, Ibrahim Harbi said, ما أخرجت بغداد أتم عقلا منه ولا أحفظ للسانه من بشر. Baghdad in its history, from what I know, Ibrahim Harbi said, never produced a man of this caliber, nor had he produced a man who protected his tongue like Bishr Hafi. ما عرف له غيبة لأي مسلم. In his entire life, he never backbited one Muslim in his whole life. كأن في كل شعرة منه عقلا. It was as if every strand of hair on his brain, on his head, was an independent brain. لو قسم عقله على أهل بغداد لصاروا عقلا وما نقص من عقله شيء. If his intellect was distributed over all the occupants of Baghdad, every man would become a genius and he will remain just so intelligent. So Bishr Hafi was this great scholar. There's so much written about him. Anyway, one person says that I used to visit the house of Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh. So one day his sister said to me that I've spun some wool. Will you sell this and buy some fish and come? So I took it and I she used to sew and knit, and she prepared this ball of wool and I sold it and I bought the fish and I presented it. She prepared the meat. Her brother was invited home and I came home. So when her brother came home, Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh, Hafi means barefoot. He never used to wear shoes. So that's why he was known as Bishr Hafi. Someone asked him, what is the ruling if a person doesn't pay zakat? So he said, ruling according to Imam Malik's jurisprudence or according to my ruling? He said, give us Imam Malik's ruling and give us your ruling. He said, according to Imam Malik, if you didn't pay zakat, then you have to atone and you have to calculate and you have to compensate for all the years that you paid. According to my ruling, as a slave, you don't own anything. Everything belongs to Allah. That's my ruling. According to me, you don't own anything. Everything belongs to Allah. So he was of a very great caliber. Anyway, he sat down and he ate and everything and he enjoyed the meal. So he asked his sister, what's the occasion of the fish today? So she said, رَأَيْتُ أُمِّي وَأُمَّكَ فِي الْمَنَامِ. I've seen our late mum in a dream. And she was looking very happy and excited. And she said to me, my daughter, do you want to bring happiness to my soul? I said, my mom, that's the greatest thing I want to see and that's the greatest thing I want to do. She said, your brother, my son Bishr, hasn't had fish for a long time. Sell what you have and buy him fish and tell him I have prepared this and send this to him from my qabar. Hilyatul Awliya and the Birrul Walidain, you can read this incident. So I had prepared this, it was precious, it was exclusive, and I prepared this. When Bishr Hafi heard this, he started tearing. He said, Rahimallahu ummi, taghtammu li hayyan wa mayyita. May Allah give my mom the greatest abode in Jannah. She cooked when she was alive, and she facilitated when she was absent. She cooked it with her own hand. How many a youth take the curse of this mother and leave? To no concern, to no avail. The mother cried at the top of her voice. Her lungs are bursting. She's gone old and aged, frail and weak. And she whispers and she cries. And she will never tire crying. And that's the mother. My brother, atone. Atone today. Atone today. Amen today. So anyway, Rabi'a radiallahu anhu says, I then gave it thought. And all the whispers that came in my mind were, وَكُنْتُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ شَابًا فَقِيرًا لَا أَهْلَ لِي وَلَا مَالَ وَلَا سَكَنْ. I was a young boy. My peers were married. They had a house. They had a conveyance. I was amongst the poor amongst my peers who didn't have a wife, didn't have a partner, didn't have a house, didn't have a conveyance. We formed the suffa of the masjid and we were known as the poor Muslims. So whenever anybody gave charity to Nabi alayhi salam, بَعَثَ بِهَا كُلِّهَا إِلَيْنَا. He said, give this to the poor. And if somebody gave him a gift, أَخَذَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا ثُمَّ جَعَلَ بَاقِيهَا لَنَا. He would take something and the rest to us. فَحَدَّثَتْنِي نَفْسِي أَنْ أَسْلُبَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَيْئًا مِنْ خَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا أَغْتَنِي بِهِ مِنْ فَقْرٍ وَأَغْدُوكَ الْآخَرِينَ ذَا مَالٍ وَزَوْجٍ وَوَلَدٍ. I said, here is my lotto. Here is my winning number. Here is my ticket. Here all is done for me. The Nabi of Allah will make one prayer and all is done for me. So I mustered the courage. I said to myself, I'm going to ask the Nabi of Allah, my dua is, I need a house, I need a conveyance, and I need a partner. That's what I look. And all were legit and legitimate, permissible and above board. So I mustered the courage. I said, I'm going to go. And then the next morning, just before I went, I had a counter thought in me. And that thought said to me, تَبَّنْ لَكَ يَا رَبِيعَ إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا زَائِلَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ وَإِنَّ لَكَ رِزْقًا كَفَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكَ. سَلْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ لَكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ الْآخِرَةِ. Rabia, be smart. Rabia, think smart. Rabia, be calculated. Be measured. Be circumspect. Are you going to exploit such a golden opportunity for trivial returns? Your partner is going to be the same. The Nabi of Allah, make what Allah has ordained is going to come your way. Your wealth will not change. Rabia, be smart. Rabia, be smart and ask the Nabi of Allah to make a dua that you can be his companion in Jannah. Now, if I have a thought to ask the dua of a partner and I have this counter thought, I'll say, I don't know, I'm getting these shaitani thoughts. Shaitan is playing on me. A man is praying salah, he's procrastinating in the payment of debt, and then he gets a trick, he devises a plan in salah, and then he says, you know, in namaz Allah put an ajeeb thought in my mind. What an ajeeb! That's the provocation, indoctrination, injection of the devil! Matlul ghaniyyi zulmun. When you have the means and not to pay 1 minute is exploitation, is oppression. I would say, I'm getting all these thoughts, man. You know, shaitan is playing on my mind. I'm getting all these corrupted ideas. I played with my thoughts. I fought my ideas. ثُمَّ طَابَتْ نَفْسِي لِذَلِكَ وَاسْتَرَاحَتْ لَهُ. Then I made peace. And I said, no. How many youngsters would say, a man phoned him, come, let's go movies, let's go club, let's go gamble, let's do this. And yet someone else is knocking your door. Come join us for 3 days in the path of Allah. And here you are at loggerheads. and here you're battling your emotions. And my brother, it's your choice. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ. Oh, what a verse. What a verse. Allah says, the devil comes to you. And he says, no, opt for vice. Succumb to evil. Surrender to temptation. So you surrender. When you surrender, prior to the sin, the devil hypes you up. And you have all this, like the whole world is on your side. Go, go, go. Don't worry. It's okay. Nobody's watching you. We all are humans. You have to do it. Enjoy, man. It's the best time. It's your youth. Feel it. You can repent. That's what the Quran says. The devil gives you all this clout and muscle. فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ. But as soon as you pop the pill, and as soon as you're in the club, and as soon as you dine in with that haram woman, the devil can disappear in thin air. You have to exit from the same door from which you entered. You can't disappear into thin air. You've got a profile in society. You've got a face in society. You've got a name in society. Now suddenly you feel isolated and dejected. Ya Allah, where am I and what am I doing? If my partner knows, if my parents know, if my boss knows, if my kids know, I'm lost. فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ. When you commit the wrong, قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He sarcastically says, no, I leave you, I fear Allah. You face your own music. You must live with the consequences. فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُمَا أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ خَالِدَيْنَ. That's exactly what the devil did to Abu Jahl on the occasion of Badr. He came in the form of Suraqa, because he can impersonate people. And he said to Abu Jahl, what's the panic? We come in our numbers, we'll support you. Suraqa was the name, was the leader of a tribe. So he said, we'll be all your way. So here Abu Jahl gets all this invigoration and all this enthusiasm from the supposed participation of Suraqa. But in essence, it was the devil that had taken his form. When they meet with the Muslims and the aid of Allah descends, as the Quran says, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. When the devil had adorned their actions. وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And nobody will reign dominant over you. وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. I'm your partner, your neighbor, and I will support you. فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ. But yes, when the two armies met and the ferocious battle ensued, نَكَسَ عَلَى عَقِبَيْهِ. He just gets you into the crime and he backs out. Committed and you're in a relation. You've popped the pill. You need to pay the drug lords. You've started the vice. You can't backtrack. The devil can run. Now he says to you to get that same feeling. If you are ready to up the dosage and sustain the vice, I will give you that same feeling. And it goes on and on, and it's a vicious circle. Until what happens to that celebrity? That very fame becomes a flame and engulfs him and burns him. That very celebrity, that fame becomes a flame and burns him. So I made peace with myself. I said, no, I know what I want. The next day I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabi'a, we done and dusted, concluded, and we know what we want. Yes, O Nabi of Allah, we know what we want. So what are we looking at, Rabi'a? What are we looking at? O Nabi of Allah, we're looking at basically salillah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can be your partner in Jannah. Subhanallah, the Nabi of Allah is ecstatic. He gets up, man awsaka bihada. Rabia, what a profound request. What an amazing aspiration. What a rich ambition. When, where, how, what, who, where did this happen? Where did you cook this idea? Where did you give rise to this vision? If it was me, it's like, O Nabi of Allah, you know, from birth I had this piety in me. O Nabi of Allah, you know, I come from a good family. Huh? Somebody said in the English language, some of us boast of our ancestors in such a way as if we were responsible for their achievements. Oh man, that thing hit me off my head. Huh? We talk of this one, we talk of that one, we boast of our ancestors as if we were responsible for their achievements. Kun ibn man shi'. In Arabic they say, kun ibn man shi'. Be a son to anyone. Be born in the home of anyone. Kun ibn man shi'ta waqtasib adaba yughnika mahmuduhu anin nasabi. Display character and nobody will ask you your family roots and your ancestry. Your character will be your enough introduction. Nobody will ask you anything. Display character. speaking about the pious and speaking. Sayyidina Ali said, إِنَّمَا الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُهَا أَنَا ذَا وَلَيْسَ الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُ كَانَ أَبِي وَكَانَ جَدِّي. He is a young man who comes out and stands out and performs and delivers and achieves and conveys. And he is no young man who comes and says, my late father wrote this and my late grandfather did that and my late great grandfather built this masjid. إِنَّمَا الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُهَا أَنَا ذَا. Someone said in the English language, well done is always better than well said. Well done. MashaAllah, well said. Well said. I can also well say. You can also well say. Today you go to people's houses. They show you, Maulana, you know what? Alhamdulillah, but my parrot makes salam. So what? So what, man? Like, have we reduced piety? And alhamdulillah, we've even heard it say, La ilaha illallah. We've even heard it on numerous occasions. Sad enough, my brother, you not saying La ilaha illallah, the animal is saying it. You are not saying it, I'm not saying it, and we're clutching onto these things to identify our Islamic image. O Nabi of Allah, the truth is when I went from here, I had 1,000 whispers. And I was entertaining every possibility but what I've requested. But I played with my thoughts, and then I made peace with it. And then I said, no, I think I need to be wise. ثُمَّ هُدِيتُ إِلَىٰ إِيثَارِ الْبَاقِيَةِ عَلَى الْفَانِيَةِ. Then Allah gave me the vision to realize it's always success when you give priority to eternal over that which is transitory. This is temporary and that's the benchmark with which you make your decisions. So the Nabi of Allah dropped his head. This was a serious request. This wasn't a simple thing. This was talking big time. The Nabi of Allah looked, he said, أَوَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ يَا رَبِيعَ. Rabi'a, I'm going to make my dua. You want to give it thought again? You want to conclude? Look at the Nabi of Allah, make your decision. If it was me, it's like, hey, oh Nabi of Allah, you got me thinking. Eh? You won't believe, even my wife said I should reconsider. Hey, Nabi of Allah, Ajib, man, you got this intuition, you're playing into my feelings, man. Our operations, oh Nabi of Allah, can't we get this dunya and akhirah both done? You know, we operate, we will want to operate. Oh Nabi of Allah, no. Ma sa'al, I will not ask you anything else after what I've said. The Nabi of Allah said, okay, idhan a'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. Then I want to see you in the first saf as long as you love. Then I want to see you in prostration. See you in sujood, turning to Allah, crying to Allah, and then I will make dua to Allah. Just to wrap up the incident, after a little time passed by, the Nabi of Allah came to me. He said, Allah tatazawwaj ya Rabi'a. Rabia, maybe you need to get married. So, you see, this is the beauty and the balance of Islam. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Balance and moderation. I said, oh Nabi of Allah, no, I don't want to get married and all those things and any woman and all that. No, I mean your khidmat. All the way. These are the words. O Nabi of Allah, I want to serve you diligently. So the Nabi of Allah left me and went away. Sometimes later he met me. Allah tatazawwaj ya Rabia. Rabia, have you given consideration to getting married? Have you given any consideration to getting married? I said, no, Nabi of Allah, فَأَجَبْتُهُ بِمِثْلِ مَا أَجَبْتُهُ فِي الْمَرَّةِ الْأُولَى. But then when the Nabi of Allah went away, he left me thinking. I said to myself, if the Nabi of Allah is repeatedly proposing this option, surely he knows what is better for me, and perhaps that's a polite hint and an insinuation for me to pick up and it's time to settle down. So I said to myself, if he ever is going to come forward again, I'm going to exploit it, and I'm going to take the offer on, and I'm going to say, oh Nabi of Allah, yes, I want to get married. It wasn't long, the Nabi of Allah came back to me. Look at his politeness of engagement. Look at the manner in which he reaches out. He said, Rabi'a, any thoughts of getting married? I said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ يُزَوِّجُنِي وَأَنَا كَمَا تَعْلَمْ. O Nabi of Allah, that's great. Getting married is fine, but who will wed me and you know my profile? The Nabi of Allah said, if you've agreed, then I will take care of the rest of it. He said, okay, O Nabi of Allah, I want to get married. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنْ طَلِقْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ فُلَانِ وَقُلْ لَهُمْ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَمَرَكُمْ أَن تُزَوِّجُنِي فَتَاتَكُمْ فُلَانَ. Go to this family and say, the Nabi of Allah has sent me, and he said, you must wed me to this daughter of yours. فَأَتَيْتُهُمْ عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءِ. I came, I was very shy, full of bashfulness. How can I go? How can I say this? Anyway, I came, I knocked on the door. I said, I am for now the ambassador and the messenger, but later I will be your son-in-law. But let's play that, we'll put that down later. Gamno jammai. For now, O Nabi of Allah, I am the family. I am actually an envoy and a messenger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in time to come, if all goes well, yeah, consider me as your son-in-law. So the Nabi of Allah has sent me, and he said that you must wed me to that particular daughter of yours. So they said, so and so, this daughter said yes. He said, Marhaban bi Rasulillah wa bi Rasuli Rasulillah. Wallahi la yarji'u Rasulullahi illa bihajatihi. Welcome to the Nabi of Allah, and welcome to anyone and everyone that he out of his kindness delegates and sends to our house. Allah's Qasam, the Nabi of Allah and his envoy will only return with what they have come for. Aqadu li ala ibnatihim. They agreed, they finalized it, they have a look at one another, it's agreed. He said, okay, we'll finalize the other logistics and details. I come back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said, O Nabi of Allah, jitu min indi khayri qawmin. I've come back from the best of people. Rahabuni, they've accepted me. They haven't asked me for anything, purely on your word, they've accepted me, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walakin, min ayna atihim bil mahri. I don't have dowry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no problem. This was it. Every sahabi took it his pride to put all his resources at the disposal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything and everything that I have. Allah has blessed everyone with different talent and different ability. And the more I present it, the more there will be growth, prosperity and blessings in that ni'mat. And the more I withhold it and suppress it, the more I will shorten the lifespan of that which Allah has given me. Whatever Allah has given me, I have to offer it to the disposal of, to the court of Allah and to the deen of Allah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, call Buraida, Buraida ibn Husayb radiallahu anhu. Buraida, do me a favor, gather 1 ounce of gold, put it together and just give it to him, he can give it as dowry. Ijma' li Rabi'a wazna nawatim min dhahab. So Buraida radiallahu anhu said, fine. If somebody tell me to do something for Rabi'a, why? He's getting married. Oh, who? When? Who is it? Who is it? Wait. No, I'm just asking. That is it. But do what you have to do. You want to know the whole world's gossip. They take an earful and make it into a mouthful. What do? They take an earful and make it into a mouthful. Who, when, why, what? Oh, like that. Okay. What had to be done? How many a wealthy man will not donate a cent, but he came to me also. Oh, he was there, but he was by me also. By complete the sentence and say, I didn't give a dime. People say, Hada min fadli Rabbi. A lot of people put it. I want to put this in front. Well, I need you to come. I need to see the calligraphy. I need to see the positioning. I said, Hada min fadli Rabbi is right, my friend. But you abruptly end in the ayah, complete the ayah. Liyabluwani aashkuru am akfur. This what Allah has given me is His mercy, and He's given me not so that I can become arrogant and flamboyant, but to test me if I can be grateful or am I ungrateful. Complete that ayah. Surely you're attributing it to Allah, but conclude the whole thing. Understand it in its wholesome context. Unfortunately, we lose that spirit. So anyway, Buraida radiallahu anhu said, no problem. He gathers 1 ounce of gold, he gives it to Rabi'a radiallahu anhu, he gives his wife dowry. Said, O Nabi of Allah, walima, how are we going to do the walima? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, get 1 sheep for Rabi'a radiallahu anhu. So, فَجَمَعُوا لِرَبِيعَ ثَمَنَ كَبْشٍ. They gather some money to which he can buy a sheep. And then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she's got some flour. Tell her to give you that flour. I will wrap up now shortly in salah. Tell Aisha radiallahu anha to give you that flour. So I go to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and I tell her that Allah's Nabi has sent me. But look at the personal touch the Nabi of Allah gave to every individual person. A personal touch to the every need of every individual. That's how the Nabi of Allah took out time and sent to every person. Often I cry, I get these emails, I get these queries, I get these requests, and I say, Allah, it's your kindness that this is at my door. I don't have the liberty to decline, but I don't have the strength to comply. Allah, forgive me for my shortcoming. This is my duty to respond and my weakness that I cannot. But look at how they came out and how they responded. How they juggled between all their activities and they complied. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I have X amount of flour, you may take it, and that's all the food we have in the house. مَالَنَا تَعَامٌ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. We have no other food besides this. So here I take, فَأَخَذْتُ الْكَبْشَ وَالشَّعِيرِ وَذَهَبْتُ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ أَهْلِ زَوْجِي. I go to my in-laws, I'm carrying the flour from Aisha radiallahu anha, I'm carrying the ounce of gold that Burayda radiallahu anhu gave me, the sheep that the Sahaba gathered and gave me. I come to my in-laws and I said, right, it's walima time, here's the sheep, here's a live sheep. Imagine you're going with live chickens and you're giving it to your in-laws there. Live chicken. So I went with a live sheep. Sahaba lived such a life. We've digressed so much, it has become difficult for us to even imagine that humans could live like this, leave alone internalizing it. How pure, how clean, how simple, how straightforward, how open, not forked tongues, no double standards, no irregularities, open book, transparent. So I gave it to them. They said, أَمَّا الشَّاتْ فَمُرْ أَصْحَابَكَ أَن يُعِدُّوهُ لَكْ. Leave the flour here, we'll run the bread and make it. Your sheep, you tell your friends, you will get together, roll something and put it together. فَأَنَا وَنَاسٌ مِّنْ أَسْلَمْ. Myself and some people from my tribe, we took the sheep, أَخَذْنَاهُ ذَبَحْنَاهُ سَلَخْنَاهُ. We slaughtered it, we skinned it, we prepared it. And then I had this walima, فَأَوْلَمْتُ. We prepared the walima, فَدَعَوْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I called the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَجَابَ دَعْوَتِي. He responded to my dawat. And I was the most happiest married man in Medina. Thereafter things changed for me and Allah blessed me with wealth, and this is the last part of the incident and we'll end off on that. ثُمَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَنَحَنِي أَرْضًا. ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنَحَنِي أَرْضًا. The Nabi of Allah gave me a land, and then Allah opened up and things started moving in my life. And I just started growing, you know what, climbing the economic ladder swiftly. حَتَّى دَخَلَتْ عَلَيَّ الدُّنْيَا. Suddenly I became a wealthy, an affluent, a well-recognized person. I was in the forefront in terms of business. Things just clicked for me and everything worked out. حَتَّى اخْتَلَفْتُ عَلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ فِي أَرْضٍ. And I had a land, and adjacent to my land was the land of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And one day in this land, we ended up in a squabble and in an argument and in an altercation, and it got a bit unpleasant. فَأَسْمَعَنِي كَلِمَةً كَرِهْتُهَا. In that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa arda uttered something which I found distasteful. I didn't take kind to it. فَأَسْمَعَنِي كَلِمَةً كَرِهْتُهَا. I didn't like it. فَلَمَّا. But this was the beauty. See, we are humans, we are social creatures. We are bound to earth. We are bound to earth. I often say to people, this guy said, we were talking and one guy said, I'm married for 15 years and I never had a fight with my wife. I said, I guess you didn't have rukhsati still or something, my friend. You're going to pick up your parcel after 15 years or something. Be real. I don't envy you for a split second. If you tell me you don't have an argument with your wife, I don't envy you. Why? Because the Nabi of Allah argued with his wife. My aspiration is not to have a hiccup-free life. My aspiration is to have the tolerance of my Nabi, that when we get into an argument, how he can defuse it with his calmness. That is it. The goal is that. Because we need to be pragmatic. We need to be real. It's inevitable. It has to happen. So we are humans. We are social creatures. We say things. Sometimes we don't mean it. We hurt people. فَلَمَّا بَدَرَتْ مِنْهُ الْكَلِمَ نَدِمَ عَلَىٰ فِعْلٍ. As soon as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu uttered, he said, no, this wasn't right. No, I think I made a mistake. So he said to me, رُدَّ عَلَيَّ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Rabi'ah, say to me what I said to you. Return and retort those harsh words. So I said, no, I'm not going to return and I'm not going to retort and I'm not going to say that. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I insist you must retort and say the same thing. I said, Abu Bakr, I think let's just leave the chapter here. I don't think I want to repeat this. He said, أَشْكُوكَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Then I'm going to complain to the Nabi of Allah about you. I said nothing, and then he just hastened towards the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I tagged behind him. Now this is what happens to many youth, unfortunately, when they grow, and Allah gives them, then they forget their humble beginnings. And at that time they become so consumed. Rabia has moved on, he's evolved. He's not the young, battling, pauper Rabia. He's an established, economic, financial, viable, competent person in the corporate sector. In today's terminology, he's moving up. He's in the front row in terms of business, of trade, of commerce. But he knows his limits, and he knew who Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was. So as he's coming, he sees behind him a group of his family and tribe following. So they are talking among themselves, and they said, so strange, إِنَّهُ قَدْ بَدَأَ فَشَتَمَكْ ثُمَّ يَشْكُوكَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Strange, the man is guilty, initiates the argument, provokes the situation, starts off with an unpleasant word, and then threatens and intimidates to complain to the Nabi of Allah. So as they come in, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is ahead. Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu turns around and he says to these people, irji'u, move back. Irji'u, move back. Do you know who is this? هذا أبو بكر الصديق ذو شيبة المسلمين أولو. Do you know who is this person? This is the most beloved, the confidant, the closest, the devout companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This virtue. Let him not see that you are coming to give strength and clout to me. Because if he thinks you are representing me for yaghdab, Abu Bakr might become angry. ثم يأتي رسول الله فيغضب رسول الله لغضب أبي بكر. Then he'll come to the Nabi of Allah, and the Nabi of Allah will become angry on his behalf. فيغضب الله لغضبهما. And then Allah will become angry because Allah's Nabi is angry and Abu Bakr is angry. فيهلك ربيعة. Then nobody will be able to shelter ربيعة. All my wealth that I have and all my empire that I have, if I have hurt this man and I haven't patched up with him, his anger is enough for me to be denied and deprived of everything that I have. How often we don't realize we say words and there everything goes. Then I came inside there and I sat down. The Nabi of Allah had his head down. He said, ماذا حدث بينك؟ Oh, Rabi'ah, what happened between you and Abu Bakr? I said, oh, Nabi of Allah, asma'ani kalima karihtuha. He said to me something which I didn't like. And then he asked me to respond in the same way, and I declined. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you did the right thing. Don't retort and respond with the same words, but rather say, ghafarallahu laka ya Aba Bakrin. Abu Bakr, you erred. May Allah forgive you for the mistake. So then Rabi'ah stood up, he hugged Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, ghafarallahu laka ya Aba Bakrin. Oh, Abu Bakr, may Allah forgive you. In a nutshell, my brother, this was the great life of a young man who had everything going for him, and who could have everything else going for him. But he chose to be the companion, the partner, and the person to walk along the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah must open our hearts to the reality. May Allah make our vessels receptive to the rain of revelation. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that this hidayat is like the rain of revelation. It's the same rain that comes. It's just the vessels and the containers that differ. Some embrace it, some flush the water out, some take a small quantity, and some take and retain the entire amount of water. May Allah make it that our hearts are those vessels that we can take that entire amount of water, and we can leave from here in a way that we have effected change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our coming here, bring the change in our life, restore the honor and the glory of our ummah, protect, guide and inspire our youth. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وزد وتحنن وترحم على حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين O most kind, most loving, most gracious, most merciful Allah, we beg, we beseech, we implore you Allah. We ask you through the agency of your Isma A'zam, your supreme name, via which all prayers are answered, O Allah, to please accept us at this blessed and momentous occasion, O Allah. O Allah, rid our hearts of all the vice and the evil and all the antagonism that it harbors, O Allah. O Allah, purify our eyes from all the immorality and obscene sights and views it has seen, O Allah. O Allah, pardon our hands for flipping through all evil sights and evil places, O Allah. O Allah, forgive our legs for advancing towards vice, O Allah. O Allah, forgive our ears for listening to haram, melodious music, O Allah. Allah, give us the love of Quran, give us the attachment of Quran. Oh Allah, you protect our youth, you inspire our youth, you guide our youth, Allah. Allah, those youth that are in clubs, Allah, those youth that are in pubs, Allah, those youth that are in vice, Allah, the youth at this moment that are on the verge of committing a sin, Allah, through the blessed presence of the youth that have converged and congregated here, Allah, Allah, you transmit this spirituality to them, O Allah, and let them exit from those clubs this very moment, O Allah. O Allah, those that are putting tattoos on their forelocks and their backs, Allah, Allah, you brighten their foreheads, Allah, with the hallmarks of sajda, O Allah. O Allah, you let the effulgence of iman permeate from them, O Allah. O Allah, you let the brilliance of iman come out on their bodies, O Allah. O Allah, you help the ummah wherever they are, O Allah. O Allah, the world continues to slip in chaos and mayhem and anarchy, O Allah. Allah, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Muslims have been killed and massacred, Allah. Allah, we have absolute conviction on your divinity. We have absolute conviction on your truthful deen, O Allah. Allah, not for a moment do we entertain the negativity of the injection of the devil, O Allah. You are just, you are fair, you are kind, you are complete, you are merciful, O Allah. Allah, you in your wisdom know best, Allah, those that have moved on and have been killed, accept their death as a martyrdom, O Allah. Those that are living behind, Allah, you make it easy for them, O Allah. Allah, you hold the hands of tyrants. Allah, grip the hands of tyrants, Allah. Allah, you have said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. That when you grip and you grasp a tyrant, your grip, your grasp is severe and intense, Allah. Allah, by your majesty and your kindness, Allah, as you know best, Allah, when to exercise your grip, O Allah. But surely, O Allah, the tyrants of today have abused your clemency, O Allah. O Allah, you let peace reign on the planet, Allah. Let stability reign on the planet, O Allah. Allah, let normality return, O Allah. Allah, let there be understanding between fellow humans, O Allah. Let there be harmony between Muslims and non-Muslims, O Allah. Allah, let us exhibit and deliver the beautiful character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, save the planet from tragedies and catastrophes, O Allah. Allah, save our youth from their pride and their arrogance, Allah. Allah, make them humble. Give them the ability to submit to their seniors, Allah. Give us the ability to obey and take the vision of our elders, O Allah. Save us from pride and arrogance, O Allah. Those that have moved on, forgive them and elevate them in Jannah. And Allah, at our time, bless us with a noble, a good, and an enviable death, O Allah. O Allah, wherever the organizations of good are taking place in any form, shape, or size, Allah, accept them, reward them, protect them, preserve them, and O Allah, save them from the evil eye. We ask from you all the good that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked from you, Allah. We ask thy divine protection against all the evils from which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked thy divine protection. Allah, those that are sick and are ill, weak and frail, Allah, in hospitals and clinics that need to undergo bypass or surgery or any other procedures, Allah, you grant them instant cure, O Allah. Grant them swift recoveries, O Allah. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.